Patrick Windhorst, state representative, joining us this morning. Patrick, how are you this morning, pal?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
Good. Good. You know, I got to say, I it was interesting when I saw this announcement that there was a new chairman for the Republican Party. And I he was the head of the gaming committee. And you know what's weird? My brain says, well, look, here's a guy apparently who knows how to play well with others, or he would not be head of the gaming board. He wouldn't be. This guy that apparently knows both sides of the aisle.
That's right. And I was encouraged to hear Mr. Tracy was our new chairman, appointed our new chairman. I think it's important for us as Republicans to come together and be unified leading into 2022. We'll have an important gubernatorial election, we'll have an important Senate election, and then, of course, we'll have the entire General Assembly up for election. So we, as Republicans, just being as a Republican, we need to make sure we're working together and not being divided and have intra-party fighting.
I noticed an emphasis on the word conservative Republican in relationship to this appointment as well.
Well, we are and should be a conservative party. You know, I think everybody has maybe a different, slightly different idea what conservative means. But the Republican Party has been in our country and our state, the conservative party, for the last 40 years since Ronald Reagan. And we should continue to be that. The example that President Reagan set for our party and how we conduct ourselves, you know, the 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican, that we will be unified, work together, and that we will stand up for common sense American values.
Well, that dovetails into that letter from downstate Republicans to Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Because you talk about thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican, Adam Kinzinger would be found guilty in a court on that.
Well, and I think that goes back to where we go going forward. We as a party need to go forward together, being unified and looking toward what our ultimate goal is, and that is to elect more conservative Republicans to office. So that way we can change the direction of our state primarily, and then also our country. That way we can have a government that reflects our values, and that one that, you know, we believe our principles are the correct principles, the one that will make our country a freer place, a fairer place, a more prosperous place. So it is important for us to stand behind those values, make sure that our candidates are promoting those values, and then support those candidates who do.
All right. Now, one of the reasons I asked Patrick to join us this morning is I was fascinated by this last week and the Republicans coming out and saying, look, we want to do something to empower voters. Well, it's a nice pithy comment at the very best. But when you look at this, this is interesting because there are Senate joint resolution constitutional amendments. We're talking about constitutional, not some piece of legislation that says you have to balance the budget. It's in the Constitution. We still don't do it. This, I find this really interesting because these are pretty substantial changes, and as we said, constitutional changes. Let's take a look. There are basically three components to this, the way I have this mapped out. Illinois Constitution currently limits citizen initiative amendments. This would change that.
That's right. The citizen initiative portion would broaden the current part of our state constitution. I don't know if you remember a few years back with the Fair Maps Amendment, there was actually a proposal to put an amendment on the ballot for the Fair Maps process. Citizens got signatures. It was sent to the State Board of Elections. That was challenged in court. The state Supreme Court said it was in violation of the constitutional amendment allowing for citizen initiatives because it's a very narrow tailored amendment currently in the law in our Constitution. This would broaden it and would allow for essentially any type of constitutional amendment to come forward from a citizen initiative, would give the citizens more of an ability to affect the direction of our state on a larger basis, more than just election by election.
And vote on the constitutional amendment. Vote on it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, you know, our Constitution's been in effect now for just over 50 years, since 1970. There have been various items of discussion about ways we could improve that, particularly as it relates to the governance of our state with legislative maps being the best and latest example, the citizen should have a voice in this process. And another one that would, I think, immediately be brought forward and come for vote is term limits. Term limits is something that is very popular with the public, right. But, of course, the people who need to put it on the ballot right now are politicians, and they don't want to put it on the ballot. This would allow citizens to put term limits on the ballot and have a vote on whether that would apply.
Now, here's another item that fascinates me. Ability for citizens to initiate or up or down referendum on newly passed laws. And when you see some of the laws and the prospect of them being signed by the governor, you understand why this is here. This would give the citizens a right to veto unpopular or rushed legislation. Clearly a nod to not only this lame duck session, I should say, but several others that have left us with legislation on the front porch as legislators walk out and don't come back.
Yeah, this is something that occurs in other states, most notably California. And I think, you know, if this latest criminal justice reform bill is signed by the governor, this would be a procedure that would allow citizens to say, look, we don't agree with this. We want to have an up or down vote as to whether this will apply. Going back to the California example, you know, California, their legislature passed an elimination of cash bail. Well, they put it on the ballot, and the citizens rejected the law that the legislature had passed. I think a similar thing may occur here in Illinois if this existed. Of course, this, again, is going to give citizens an ability to have their voice heard beyond just election to election. They'll have their voice heard in actual speaking to legislation and having an ability to essentially have a veto over that legislation if it's not appropriate.
And what's interesting is in this, looking over this legislation, it refers to if a General Assembly passes a bill and it's signed by the governor, it's nearly impossible to get that legislation overturned. Under this proposal, citizens would get 90 days to circulate a petition and collect signatures equal to 5% of the votes cast in the last gubernatorial election or to force a voter referendum on the legislation. You know, 90 days doesn't seem like a long time, but with the internet and what we can do now, there's much more attainable goals. Now, here's another section we want to bring up before we move on to some other items. The ability to recall elected officials. We can do this to the governor right now, but there really is an issue when it comes to the ability to recall some other elected official in this state.
And that's right. We currently have the ability to recall the governor, but it's very difficult. It requires essentially 15 members of each party, the General Assembly, to agree to begin the recall. The recall process.
Right.
And then you'll have signatures that are gained after that. This would eliminate that first step of the legislature being involved. There would be a preliminary step where you have to meet a signature threshold, and then the matter would go on the ballot. And if there were 60% of the voters voted to recall that elected official, he or she would be removed. So the governor, all the statewide constitutional officers of the state, members of the General Assembly, specifically the Speaker and President, Speaker of the House and President of the Senate, as well as local elected officials, could be recalled if this were to be added to the Constitution.
It's weird. You know, I have mixed feelings about this because I have argued with this over some people who were in a position to know, including an author of a great book called The Federalist Papers, Professor Mace at SIU. And I'm like, we need to be able to recall these, you know, and I'm ranting and raving. He says, look, we do have ability to recall. It's called an election. And I talked to Mayor Butler about this prior to his death extensively. He and I talked about this. And he says, this undermines leadership. He says, the very often problem you have is somebody who's trying to do something, accomplish big things. At first, it is ridiculed, and despised, and then possibly it's a good idea. He says this undermines the confidence and ability of a community, elected community leader, to be able to act in the best interest of the community, even if the community isn't aware of it yet. And I've been plagued by that conversation because, well, he had a lot of experience. I mean, I kind of get what he was saying. You just can't go out and do what needs to be done and lead if you're constantly in fear of being recalled.
There is a concern about that. I share that concern. There are a couple things in this amendment, the proposed amendment, I think, that would make that likelihood less likely. One is that there's a 60% vote threshold. So you're talking about not just 50% plus one like a normal election, it's 60%. The other is under the effort, both the persons requesting the recall and the person who is asked to be recalled can put up to 200 words on the ballot explaining their position. So it's not as if it's voters would get no information going into the polls. Actually, they get extra information about what the process is. And then I think there are certain elected officials, specifically the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, who wield tremendous power in our state, but are only essentially accountable to a small number of people, their legislative district. So as you know, we've seen for the last, since back to 1983 with former Speaker Madigan, you know, he would get elected in his district outside or in the Cook County and then would wield power throughout the state. Whereas that would affect everyone from southern Illinois to northern Illinois, but we did not have the ability to impact his power or his position. This would, of course, change that. There are, I do understand where those individuals are coming from and their thoughts, and that is we do have a Republican form of government, meaning that we elect people to make decisions for us, and we have to have elections to hold them accountable, but they need to have the ability and the space to lead during that time. So it is a delicate balance. I would agree with that.
All right. It's interesting. One of our listeners on the American Monument text line saying, you know, because you referenced a couple of moments ago, California can do this a couple of these items, including the new laws and things along that line. And somebody texts in and says, Illinois Republicans want the state to be more like California. Now I've heard it all. But California has done some of these items, and hearing a Republican saying they're a good idea apparently leaves someone in shock.
Well, I can understand that, because normally with California, there's rarely good things to say. However, this is one piece where they, I think, get it right with allowing citizens to have a say on legislation, particularly legislation that, as you pointed out, would impact all, potentially. Those that are passed in the middle of the night or with little public input, and it's just kind of pushed on the public without their involvement, this allows the public to say, wait a second. We don't want this piece of legislation. You know, there is a short time frame which can be done, 90 days to circulate. So
right.
it's not wide open. I think, again, this strikes a good balance.
Patrick Windhorst, state representative, before I let you go, when you look at what we just talked about, we did the details first, but really this is a broad stroke to issue really after the lame duck session. There's a lot of talk. Republican senators have sent a letter to the governor. Don't sign this criminal reform, Justice. As we've learned more about these bills, the school reform bill, indoctrination, the issue, and some of the components here, there is a big pushback against this lame duck session and what was accomplished legislatively in a very short period of time that has huge ramifications, hundreds of pages of new laws and how things have to be done. And there's a pushback against these, and this is a manifestation of that.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, lame duck sessions have been, I believe, a problem for some time. It's where a lot of times unpopular pieces of legislation come forward, and, you know, it's just upsetting to the public. How we curtail what occurs in the lame duck session, I think some of these may be an answer to that, while still allowing the legislature to act if there's a true emergency that needs to be addressed.
State Representative Patrick Windhorst, what's next in Springfield, Patrick, before I let you go?
We go up Wednesday to vote on the House rules. We will see if Speaker Welch is true to his word that there will be some reforms to the House rules. We should find that out tomorrow and Wednesday, whether that's the case. So we're looking forward to see what that has to bring.